You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Lots of things are better together. Hockey, food, golf, or a nice cold one on a warm spring day hanging out on the deck. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This is the GM Shuffle.
Does this feel like to you like this is the final year of that sort of McDermott, Bean, Allen thing? Like, Allen's not going anywhere, but for McDermott and Bean in particular.
Yeah, it's going to require a lot of skill to get out of it. I think the pressure that everybody puts on Mike McCarthy, I think that pressure is on Sean McDermott. I mean, he's got to deliver.
You're listening to the GM Shuffle with Michael Lombardi, presented by DraftKings and VSiN. Here is Femi Abebefe.
Welcome to another edition of the GM Shuffle with Michael Lombardi, presented by DraftKings and VSiN. I'm your host, Femi Abebefe. As always, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Our producer, Elliot Bowman, with us on the ones and twos. And Michael, here we are on the eve of the legal tampering period, which begins on Monday. And we're already starting to see some of those cap casualties come into fold here as these teams try to figure out their salary caps before the new league year starts next Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, what a time, right? I mean, the cap goes up $25 million. It's one of the historical numbers to go up, and teams are still trying to figure out how to get below the cap and how to handle that. You know, as of yesterday, Femi, I went through it, and this is before Buffalo, and we're going to get to them in a second, made a ton of moves. There were seven teams with over $50 million. Some teams have high, almost a 90, right? There are five teams with 40. There are four teams with 30. There are three teams with 20, and there's 19 teams with over combined. There's 19 teams in that category that have 20 or up millions of dollars. So there's a lot of money on the market, right? And there's some teams like the Bills that are just going to have to start cutting players. We see it with the Broncos. You know, the Saints are rearranging. The Dolphins are going to have to do it once they give your guy his huge contract. So it's interesting times in the league. You know, there's kind of eight teams that are struggling to get below the cap, and 19 teams have ample room.
Yeah, and teams are searching for room. You mentioned the Buffalo Bills, who were able to free up $36 million in salary cap space, but still are $7.6 million over the salary cap. So they still got some gymnastics that they got to do between now and the start of the new league year. But Buffalo released a number of marquee players. Jordan Poyer, the all-pro safety, he is no longer with the team. They released him. They also released Mitch Morse, the center. You had Tre'Davious White, the corner, who's dealt with a number of season-ending injuries over these past couple of years, only played in 10 games over the last two seasons. They released Tre'Davious White, and then Deontay Hardy, Nyheim Hines, Saran O'Neal. There's a number of marquee guys that were on this Bills team and was kind of part of this McDermott-Allen era that had the Bills as a contender in the AFC that will no longer be in Buffalo due to the financials.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is going to be an interesting offseason for Buffalo. Okay, so, you know, they still got to get below the cap. They got Von Miller to take a pay cut. You know, the Von Miller domestic allegations that are there kind of helped them take that pay cut because, you know, if he's convicted or if something goes wrong, those guarantees that he had would have been washed away. So Miller was able to redo his deal and they don't take this huge cap hit, which they would have taken had they just cut him. And so now we'll see if he can rejuvenate his career. It doesn't look like it to me at all. It looks like he's got no juice in his lower body. I mean, they've got Daquan Jones as a free agent out there. Leonard Floyd. I mean, they've got some good players. Daquan Jones, if he's healthy, was their best defensive lineman, in my opinion. You know, their two safeties kind of kept the team together. They re-signed Taylor Rapp to a contract. But this offseason for Buffalo, look, Buffalo, I hate this term, the window's closing for Buffalo, because as long as you got Josh Allen, the window won't close, right? Mm-hmm. We've seen great quarterbacks take teams that are not very good and get them somewhere. But it's getting harder. And defensively is where it's going to show up. And it's going to be a challenge. I mean, they re-signed Rasul Douglas, which they needed to do. But it's going to be hard for them to get the depth. I mean, they are down this kind of road that the Rams went down. Now, if they can duplicate what the Rams did, God bless them. But I think it's going to be hard. I think it's going to be really hard. And here's where it gets really difficult. Any injuries on their team, any injuries. And we know they're little at linebacker. We know they're little on defense. Any injuries, it could be devastating for the team.
Yeah, no, it does feel like more of the weight is going to be put on Allen and more of the workload on his plate there, just because, like you said, like they just cannot continue to go down this path with all these guys. And you mentioned the number of the free agents who they have coming up. Gabe Davis, their number two wide receiver, he's a free agent. So if you lose him, I mean, who knows what they're going to do with Stephon Diggs' contract? Do they maybe look to potentially move Diggs? Is that something that they could go down if they wanted to go ahead and get some more draft picks or maybe get some cheaper players in return to try to just refurbish this roster? Because this was a team that already felt like it was a little bit descending. It feels like to me, Michael, like the peak of the Buffalo Bills was that 13 seconds game. The peak of this McDermott Allen Bills team was that roster, that team. That was their chance to go ahead and get the Super Bowl. And it's sort of been descending since that point. And now nobody's saying that they're not going to be contenders, but in a tough AFC, Josh Allen, he gets you in the door. That's the quarterback that you need to get you in the door. But once you get in the door, what are you going to be able to do? And I don't know if this Bills team is going to be able to do anything, because just right now, like, how do they improve this roster outside of the draft with the financials being what they are? It doesn't seem like that's possible.
They're going to have to hit with the draft. But I think their window was last year too, Femi. I mean, if Bass makes the kick, they're in overtime. I mean, they had the ball for 37 minutes against the Chiefs. They moved the ball better than any team did in the playoffs against the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs would probably say to you, you know, the hardest game they played in the playoffs was playing that game in Buffalo. I'm not saying the 49er game wasn't hard, but once the 49ers ran out of gas defensively, it became an easier game for Kansas City's offense. But to me, I mean, Buffalo makes, you know, they had a chance to win that game, you know, and they had the, you know, they after that fake punt that they tried and Kansas City was able to sniff it out and then they missed the field goal. They have a chance. If they score at the end of the game right there, they're going to win the game, but they couldn't get it in the end zone. Look, Allen, I think if you're worried about the Diggs, to me, is like we don't know where Diggs is. He's due to make $18 million. He's got, you know, he's got guaranteed money. He would take a huge cap hit to cut him. But, you know, he doesn't, as I look at it, he doesn't have any more guaranteed salary left. So there's that number, but he's got prorated money sitting out there that if they cut him, it's going to be a heavy fine they got to pay on their cap, and I don't think they can afford to do that.
Yeah, to me, if they were to trade him, there'd be a dead cap hit of $31 million. It's like you can't even trade that. You wouldn't save anything on the cap as well.
But they could offset that. They could do exactly what they did with Russell Wilson. They could push some of it. They could put some of it into. They could do it retro June 1. Mm-hmm. You know, if they did that, the trade, they would push that there. I don't know if you could do it on trades though. I got to think about that one because the transaction happens right away. So, I mean, look, that's a tough problem. You know, it's a tough problem. And, you know, he's 31 years old. And we know receivers kind of tend to go that way. He hasn't been as dominant as he once was. He hasn't been the number one receiver that we saw when they got him.
Yeah, no, he definitely, the last half of the season, there was like, what's happened with Stephon Diggs? Why can't they get him the football there? I don't think it was, they weren't trying to. You saw the decline in the play a little bit. Last thing on Buffalo, though, with McDermott and Bean, like they ran this thing back there, and there was a lot of heat for under McDermott when they lost a game to Kansas City. Does this feel like to you like this is the final year of that sort of McDermott, Bean, Allen thing? Like, Allen's not going anywhere, but for McDermott and Bean in particular, does this feel like this is sort of the final year? Because it feels like, just based on where they're at, they're kind of painted into a corner, and I'm not sure how they get out of it.
Yeah, it's going to require a lot of skill to get out of it. I think the pressure that everybody puts on Mike McCarthy, I think that pressure is on Sean McDermott. I mean, he's got to deliver, and he's going to have to figure out and solve the riddle of this team. You know, he fired Ken Dorsey last year. You know, he's made the changes on offense. He's got Joe Brady running it. He hired Bobby Babich to be the defensive coordinator. So now I don't know if he's going to call the game anymore or what. But, you know, they've got a lot of free agents that are good players that are out there that they're going to have to try to get back, and their Bean's going to have to do a really good job of drafting. I'm not sure they're as talented as everybody claims this roster is, but they have a great quarterback. And when you have a great quarterback, you know, he can do a lot of things. But, you know, like when Peyton Manning got hurt in Indianapolis, I think once that happens, you know, this could seriously go in another direction like Indianapolis did.
Yeah, you mentioned Peyton Manning. Well, Peyton Manning's last team was the Denver Broncos. They've been in search of a great quarterback ever since Manning retired. And boy, talk about a swing and a miss of what they did with this Russell Wilson trade. The Broncos earlier this week releasing Russell Wilson. We all felt that this was going to come this way. $85 million dead cap hit, the highest in NFL history. Just saying that out loud is crazy. Obviously, the cap has gone up, but $85 million in dead money after the trade with the Seattle Seahawks a couple of years ago to bring Wilson to the Rocky Mountains. You talked about this earlier this week, Michael. You made the argument that this is the worst trade in NFL history here. There's one I want to bounce off of you that I think is a little bit worse, but explain this one, why you think that this is the worst trade in league history and what it means for Denver going forward.
Well, everybody wants to say the Deshaun Watson trade could be the worst trade, and it might go down if he doesn't play better, right? Mm-hmm. But they're going to do everything in their power to make sure he does play better. The guarantee in the contract on Deshaun Watson makes it very challenging, right? I mean, they can't get rid of him, whereas Russell's guarantees were timed out, so they could get away from the guarantee, but they still had to pay certain money and say it's certain liability. So, you know, this is a misevaluation by George Payton. I mean, George Payton's job was to get the head coach right, to get the quarterback right. Hired Nathaniel Hackett and brought in Russell Wilson. Didn't get either right. And this is colossal because the collateral damage that is going to occur over the course of the next 2 years that Sean Payton has taken on is from this deal. You know, they cut Justin Simmons this morning. He was due to make $14 million. Mm-hmm. You know, they can pick up some money from him to help their cap. They're going to have to make concessions. They're going to trade Courtland Sutton if they can. You know, I don't know if they'll bring Tim Patrick back at $9.5 million. You know, Jerry Jeudy, they're not going to re-sign. I mean, this is going to be an ongoing, we're going to need to draft really well. We're going to have to find players off the street. And I think at the end of the day, every guy they cut for cap reasons should be part of what they gave up in the Russell Wilson trade, because the collateral damage extends. Whereas Deshaun Watson, if he doesn't play well, then, you know, they still can't get rid of him, right? They still can't get rid of him. So they're not going to have the cap effect. They went to the playoffs. He won a game in Baltimore in the second half. They found a way to win a game around him. So I'm not there on Deshaun being worse than this one. To me, the practicality is this one's worse.
How does Peyton still have a job? Or is that just going to be after the draft?
I think that's a great question. I mean, Ryan Pace is in Atlanta. He picked Trubisky and Justin Fields, and now they're going to let him be involved in another quarterback decision. I mean, I don't know how this happens. You know, I don't know how it happens. But then nobody says anything in the media. George is well-liked by the media. I mean, George is really well-liked by the media, so they're not going to say anything bad about George.
He texts
even
back.
Even though, it's like, I don't know how George lives with himself. Yeah. I would be embarrassed.
It'd be tough to walk around that building knowing that, like, not only did you miss on the head coach and quarterback, but it was flagrantly wrong with Hackett and now with Russell Wilson, and the amount of money and resources put in to get those two guys there to be the future of the Broncos. And for it to be 2 years later and nine other guys there, it's a pretty big miss. We'll ask what's next for Russell Wilson. Also, I'll bounce off the trade that I think is worse to Michael on the other side. This is the GM Shuffle. The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. I mean, we have a plethora of games to bet on. You can bet on game by game, totals, sides, series props, conference finals, MVP, NBA finals, MVP, whatever you want. DraftKings has it. So all you have to do is download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SHUFFLE. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SHUFFLE only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. So, Michael, the trade that always comes to mind for me is, in terms of worst trades in NFL history, is the Herschel Walker trade between the Vikings and the Cowboys. I mean, it's a lot that the Vikings gave up there. We're talking about three first-round picks, three second-round picks, four players for a running back. That was the whole player-away theory that Minnesota thought that they were in, and it ultimately kick-started the Dallas Cowboys dynasty of the 90s here. But obviously different times back then, but that's the one that's always going to stand out in my mind.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that we, when I was in Cleveland, we were involved in that deal. You know, we were an older team. We kind of needed somebody to get us over that hump of Denver, completely misevaluating our team, because the next year, you know, we were a disaster. And, you know, when people look at this trade, they see Herschel as not being a good – Herschel was a really good player at one time.
Yeah, he was really good.
Yeah. And what I learned from this trade for me was that – you need to have a running game. When you're a scout and you're doing running backs, most of the time the scouts will just grade the running back. What you have to do is grade the play. Is it a point of entry run? Is it a zone run? Is it a one read and cut run? And then understand the play, which then allows you to understand the instincts of the runner. And Herschel really needed to run a point of entry attack. It was not, you know, he needed to be in a deep eye formation. There were things that just didn't work if you didn't do those things. So it was a great learning tool, but we were involved and we made a call, and, you know, Modell wanted to do it because, you know, obviously it would have brought a great fanfare to the city of Cleveland. And once we made, I think we offered a first round pick and they rejected it off the table. And then we were like, okay. You know, of course, he was like, what are we going to do here? We're going to give away everything for one player. And so we kind of bailed, but they used us as a kind of another team to get Mike Lynn, then the general manager of the Minnesota Vikings, to kind of push the envelope. And Lynn was clearly of that. And I wrote about this in Football Done Right, if anybody's interested, is, you know, I put trades in categories. And the most dangerous category to trade in is more one player away, because you never are. You never are. And Lynn went all in. And Jimmy, having come from college and kind of was running this thing, and I spent a long time on the phone with Jimmy getting him to explain it to me before I wrote in the book, Football Done Right, you know, about how all these levers got triggered off of the players, right? I mean, he took five players. And then he took all those draft picks. And every player was tied to a draft pick if he didn't re-sign them. So it became so convoluted and it became so bought back, but it gave Dallas the resources, right? But what I think gets lost in this is Dallas hit on those picks, right? Yeah. You know, when Gruden went in and traded Khalil Mack away and Amari Cooper, he didn't hit on any of the picks, right? They didn't hit on the picks. So, it's only worthwhile if you hit on the picks. When you go back and look at the Eric Dickerson trade to the Rams really didn't hit on the picks. So, those are the things. The picks, the trade has to be put down into players. For example, Brian Burns, they turned down two number ones for Brian Burns. Then they turn around and trade all these picks for Bryce Young. They could have easily traded Brian Burns for Bryce Young and it wouldn't look so bad, right? Because they would have gotten picks back for Burns. But to me, that's how you have to look at it. You have to really kind of be diligent and look closely at those things. So, I don't disagree with you. It's in the top five for sure. It's in the top, but the lingering effects, the cause and the spreading of the Wilson's money. And Sean knew this going into the job. I mean, he knew it, right? I mean, when Sean walked into Denver and sat down with the Walmart family, Greg Penner, the CEO, they knew, right, at that time, this was not going to be a happy ending. And so they had to have a we're going to try to get through it for a year. We're going to try to manage it, but we're not going any further than this. And now next step is, like, where does he go? What makes him appealing is the fact that he's a minimum contract. I mean, Mitch Trubisky just got $5 million to re-sign with the Bills. Can you imagine that? The Bills re-signed him for a two-year deal at $5 million. Like, if they're putting him in the game, are they winning?
No. Not
I mean, why would you spend that on Mitch? He's not going to win a game for you. You're better off playing some rookie. You're better off signing somebody who can't play. You know, you're going to lose no matter who you put in. But the point here is, at least with Wilson, if you're Pittsburgh, you say to Wilson, look, come in here. You can compete with Pickett. You can compete with Rudolph. We'll see if you can win the job. I don't think he's going to want to hear that. I think he would rather hear the Raiders sing the tune of, hey, you're our guy. For 2 years, we want you to be our starter. That tune might be more appealing to him. Or Minnesota, if we lose Kirk Cousins, can I sing a sad song to you? Now, somebody told me, and I forget who it was, I don't know if it's reliable, but somebody told me they think Minnesota will be in on Sam Darnold and Zach Wilson.
To be backups.
No, because I think they're not going to – I don't think they're going to buckle on the Kirk Cousins, you got to guarantee the third year. I think they've been down the Cousins road, right? I think they've gone down that road. I think they understand the road. They want Cousins back, but they want them – for the first time, they're willing to say no to Cousins, which they've never had before. When Spielman and Zimmer were there, I don't think Zimmer would have said no. I don't think Rick would have. But I think they finally are willing. See, saying no in free agency is the most powerful tool you have. Somebody's got to say no. No, we're not doing that deal. And you can get second guessed. You'll get second guessed at the moment, but it won't prove to be true later on. But I think to me, if you're Minnesota, you're sitting there saying, if I put Wilson in at a minimum, I can rebuild my team. How much, you know, I'm not going to be as good as I want to be with Cousins, but I could at least have a football team.
Yeah, and if Kirk Cousins ultimately does leave there, yeah, maybe the Vikings are a destination. They're 6-1 right now at DraftKings, our show sponsor for Russell Wilson's next team. The Pittsburgh Steelers are the odds-on favorite at -135. The Raiders +250.
I don't understand that one, Femi, though. I mean, you know Russell from being in Seattle. Do you think Russell's going to bite on the, hey, come in and compete? Because I think Pittsburgh has made it abundantly clear, besides what the aggregate people can piece together, they've made it abundantly clear that they want open competition. They're not giving anybody that job until they see it on the practice field. Do you think Russell's going to do that?
Not if there's better alternatives out there.
Right. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Like, even if the Raiders are able to draft a quarterback, right? I mean, you playing them right away? Are you going to let them? What are you doing? You know, obviously, if you get one, you're going to have to play them right away.
But the Raiders picking 13th right now, I believe it is. Are they in range to get one of these guys? We'll see. But to me, like you mentioned this earlier, we talked about it on the pod a couple of weeks ago, might have been a few weeks ago, that the Raiders makes a lot of sense just to be kind of a veteran presence to come in there. And you talked about how when he made his initial list when he was still in Seattle, the Raiders were on that list of teams that he would go to. I think it was like Raiders, Saints, Bears, Cowboys, something. It was something of like that range there of what he talked about. It says that, hey, I'm not asking for a trade, but if I did, here's where I'd want to be traded to. That was the list for him. But I think it would make a whole lot of sense. He gets to stay on the West Coast, and maybe he gets a little bit of revenge on Sean Payton and this Denver Broncos team, because, you know, revenge is always sweet as well when you're a free agent player.
I mean, I think to me, the one thing about the quarterback market, right, you can have, you know, who's in it and who's not. It's not like the other markets where you're kind of unsure, right? Mm-hmm. Because in the quarterback market, either you're looking or you're not. In the quarterback market, in the receiver market, you could sign a receiver and get rid of Diggs, right? You could trade out. You know, Philadelphia wants Bryce Huff. Okay, so if they sign Bryce Huff, okay, then they're going to get rid of Riddick and they'll get rid of Sweat. Okay, so you could sit there and look at their depth chart and say, well, Philly doesn't need an edge rusher, right? But they think they do. Obviously, they didn't get any pressure from their guys, so they'll swap those guys out. They'll swap Sweat and Riddick out and bring in Huff and pay him whatever the number is they've got to pay him. So, you know, that swap out is sometimes hard to detect. Whereas the quarterback position, there is no swap out. No. You're not getting rid of Kirk Cousins to sign, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, the empty seats in the venue.
So speaking of Kirk Cousins, because there's been a lot that's been made about Cousins potentially going to the Atlanta Falcons, Zach Robinson comes from that McVay Rams tree there. Those guys work together with Kevin O'Connell, which is the system that Kirk Cousins has been really comfortable with, that Shanahan system that he's run so well over the course of his career here. Well, our buddy Mike Florio went ahead and reported that Cousins and his wife had been looking at some homes in Georgia and went as far as to say that there had been discussions between Cousins and Kyle Pitts about a number change. Kyle Pitts currently wears number 8 for the Atlanta Falcons. That is the number of Kirk Cousins. Kyle Pitts since responded to those reports. They're saying, quote, this is actually as funny. You guys come up with anything, saying that he hasn't really talked to Kirk Cousins. But is that a thing that makes sense to you? Because like, from a schematic standpoint, it makes a whole lot of sense. Cousins going down to Atlanta. Do they want to pay all that guaranteed money?
I think Atlanta's all in. I think Atlanta is all in. I think that they've made it clear. You know, it's funny, Fontenot has changed his tune this year. He's all in on a quarterback. Last year, they thought Ritter was going to be the guy. I mean, Florio's funny because, you know, he never put the tweet that Pitts denied the whole thing. That's directly on his own website. And he calls, and he's yelling at other journalists for taking information. I mean, like, you can't have it both ways. Like, when he attacks some of these other guys for getting information from agents, I mean, Mike's gotten, I mean, he's been in the business a long time. He's gotten a lot of information from agents, and there's a lot of agents he's protected when they've had issues off the field, when they've had issues in other businesses that have failed. It's kind of a like, a, you know, Mike, you know, like if I reported a story, Mike would never give me credit for it. He don't like me for whatever reason, which is fine. I could care less. But so he would wait for somebody else to get it and then he would report it. And, you know, a guy that used to work for him told me that. He said, oh, no, you're on the list of don't get credit. So and Mike's sitting there on Pat McAfee talking about, well, you know, it's not fair. Like, come on, Mike. Come on. Do you ever look in the mirror? Like, seriously, like at some point you didn't even put the Pitts thing up. You just went ahead and didn't even put the Pitts denial on your website. Like that would be having journalistic integrity, wouldn't it, Femi?
It would be, at least from the journalism school that I went to. But yeah, he didn't have it on the website. Kyle Pitts is saying that he hasn't had any discussions with Kirk Cousins, but that doesn't mean that Cousins can't go to Atlanta. Like we say all that to say, that doesn't mean that that can't happen.
Right.
But the way that people are framing it right now, to where it's almost like it's a done deal, I think that's a little bit putting the cart before the horse there a little bit, in my opinion. But before we wrap up here on the DraftKings Network, we'll continue on the other side for our podcast audience. Want to let folks know we will have a new episode on Tuesday. The legal tampering period begins on Monday, so we'll be back here Tuesday to break down some of those early deals. Then, of course, we'll be back next Thursday as well to recap everything from the new league year beginning. So podcast audience, stick with us. We'll be back on the other side of it. But for our audience on DraftKings Network, we will see you guys Tuesday to break down the first wave of NFL free agency.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
So Kirk Cousins is likely the first domino to fall in this NFL free agent quarterback carousel, but our guy Justin Fields, where are we going to find him a seat when the music stops here in this game of musical chairs? Over at DraftKings, the team that is favored for Justin Fields' next snap is the Atlanta Falcons at plus 125. Pittsburgh is plus 250. Chicago Bears plus 275. Vikings plus 550. And the Las Vegas Raiders at plus 650. So the betting market is telling you that, hey, we don't have no idea where this guy is going. We think it might be these couple of places here. Does it feel like it has to be Pittsburgh at this point? Because if it's not Pittsburgh, where would it be? I don't really buy that Chicago's bringing him back.
Yeah, I don't either. And I think to me, when you look at it, right, when you look at what's going on, there is, seems to be not a lot of momentum. I mean, we saw that video that moved the market, Femi, of him jumping up and down. Everybody said, well, that must be Atlanta's involved. But I talked to a lot of people that were at the combine, and I can't find a team. I can't find a team that says, okay, we're in. Like, if that doesn't make your decision for Ryan Poles rather easy, I think you've got no way. You're not looking at it the right way. And so I don't know what the market is. I mean, Schefter went from saying it was going to be a one. That's what he was hearing, a one to a two. Then he backed off that. We had Dan Graziano on our show at Super Bowl week, and he didn't want to say anything about knocking the report, but that wasn't what he was hearing, nor was it I hearing. And then Adam has come back and since changed. Look, everybody hears different things. You report them, it goes on. You're never going to be 100% accurate. That's part of the job, right? Mm-hmm. And Schefter's way right, more right than most times than he's wrong. But the reality of it here is I don't see the market, right? I don't see the market for him, and he's going to have to go somewhere and compete. Like, you know, it's funny. You know what I sat here and thought? You know what I thought would be a great team for him? Mm. I would go, if I were Philly, I would trade for him.
Yeah.
Because I think if you put him behind Hurts and run the six-back offense with him and do what they did with Hurts, you might be able to parlay that. He might go in there and play good. I'm not saying he's going to play like an elite player, but if you had him as the backup to Hurts, you wouldn't have to go from Hurts to Gardner Minshew or Hurts to somebody else. Now, the problem is handling the backup role. It would have to be very specific. But I think it would be somebody that has a quarterback that could show him how to play, or the offense would be similar to when he comes into the game. You know, with Hurts, you got to run a RPO, cut the defense, half the field, you know, and use his legs. And he's very effective when he's in that, right? Because they don't play from behind very much. So to me, that would be something. That would be a team that I think if you saw them that way, you take, and if the value of it isn't expensive, you might end up getting something better for it.
So we've been talking about Fields, Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson for much of this offseason before the new league year begins. If I set you a betting market at those three guys, over 1.5 of those guys starting week one for whichever team that they're on, would you go over or under 1.5 for week one starting quarterback between Cousins, Fields, and Russell Wilson?
Well, Cousins is definitely going to start. Mm-hmm. I think Wilson signs he goes somewhere where somebody's promised him a starter. I think you set the line perfectly. I would probably take the over there.
Okay.
I would take the over, but I think you set the line perfectly.
So Wilson likely being a starter, Fields still up in the air. And it could be all three guys start. Maybe it's only one guy. Who knows? If we think Russell wants to go somewhere where he's going to start, but who knows? It's not guaranteed that he's going to start wherever he goes. And Fields, it looks like wherever he plays, best case scenario, he's in a quarterback competition in training camp. It's not going to be, hey, we're bringing you in to be our starting quarterback. In terms of the value for Fields of what Chicago could get back, seems like this is a day three pick is where we're headed, right? Like the dream of getting a one or a two or a three, it feels like that's sort of faded now that we're sitting here on March 7th.
I mean, we had Albert Breer on the show this week, and he said that the Bears are looking for a deal similar to what Sam Darnold got when he went to Carolina, which was a two and a four, but it was in different years. Mm-hmm. Similar to what Alex Smith got when he went from San Francisco to KC, which was a three. I don't see that. I mean, both those situations, the quarterbacks went in as this is our starter. And I think to me, that's a hard thing to say. Look, I think Fields has got to go to the – if I'm Fields and nobody's going to offer me a starting job, then I got to go somewhere that has a really good quarterback coach who I know I could learn from, help me develop my skill set. But, you know, what happens is everybody thinks – and this is what I think happens to Deshaun Watson in Cleveland – everybody thinks the Shanahan system is perfect for guys like this because it's bootleg, it's play action. But that system is predicated on your feet tied to your arm, okay? Everything about that system and why they love Kirk Cousins so much in that system is it's all footwork tied to arm, and which is what Walsh always talked about with the boxer. That's why he loved watching boxers, because their feet are always tied to their arms. So when they move their feet, everything is predicated on your footwork tied to your arm where you're throwing the football. Where in some teams, it's all about middle of the field open, middle of the field close. Okay, here's our read, the triangle we're throwing. this system is very specific and detailed in footwork. And that's why Cousins excels, and that's why Trey Lance wasn't going to excel, or Nick Mullen didn't excel, because that's not their game. And so what looks like something that Hurts should do, what Fields should do is go to that. That's not the right system for him. I think he needs something completely different, which is play action based, but high low read based on half the field.
Doesn't that sound a little bit like Pittsburgh with what Arthur Smith has done in his past?
It does sound a little bit like Pittsburgh, right? It does. And the threat of the run. I mean, I think he would have liked, but I don't know if Arthur's, I think Arthur would like more consistency at the quarterback position. And see, that's the problem. You get in the third and eights, and if they rush you the right way and he doesn't make the right throw, it's hard.
Well, we'll find out some point soon. Ryan Poles, the general manager of the Chicago Bears, said that he wants to make the decision yesterday on the quarterback, or whether it's trading Justin Fields or staying there at one and drafting Caleb Williams, whatever happens there in Chicago.
Let me stop you for a second there. Yeah. He's already made the call. Like, if he's still thinking about this, he hadn't done his job. Like, this should have been decided in December, right? And then you have meetings, and then you might get more people in. But for him, if you're watching practice tape every day, if you're grading every player on your roster after four games, which is what you should do as a general manager, you should grade every single player on your roster after four games. And so when you're done 17 games, you have four reports that you've written during the season. And then you're going to finalize the grade of the player. And then that grade is going to lead you to your team needs. You know, you just don't come out to the blackboard and say, okay, here's our team needs. You make team needs based on your evaluation of the team. That's why for you to spend time at Texas A&M in the middle of October, when you should be watching practice tape and your team, because if you don't know your team well enough, how can you evaluate someone else? And so, but you're at A&M, you're not watching practice. You don't understand what the coaches are going through. I think, to me, if he's not made that decision or done that, what I'm just talking about, then his process is different than what I was trained to do.
Yeah, well, hopefully he's made that decision for his own benefit there. Rich Eisen, the NFL Network anchor, and obviously has a radio show as well, had an interesting report there on his radio show that the Giants have, quote, buyer's remorse over the Daniel Jones contract that they signed him to last season. I remember it was Daniel Jones that was going all the way up to the deadline of the franchise tag. They end up getting the deal done with him. And he said, quote, they're absolutely done with Daniel Jones. Might have to play him this year, but the words I heard at the combine multiple times, two words, were buyer's remorse. That's from Rich Eisen there. It's not surprising from our vantage point if you've heard the GM shuffle over the past year, but for the New York Giants, I mean, that's a tough blow, but maybe they can go ahead and get out of it since they do pick pretty high in the draft.
Well, you know, anytime you get a report like this, like we talked about with Florio, you know, you could always tell where, like, that was one of Al Davis's biggest thing. Like, where did he get this report from? Where does it come from? And so when Rich Eisen says something like this, and Rich Eisen isn't in the rumor business, you know, Rich Eisen's in the hosting, giving his opinion, but he's not looking for, somebody told him this, that obviously is within the Giant organization, right? It isn't coming from me or coming from you who think the Giants were stupid for signing him for $40 million, right? This is coming from somebody closely in the building. Closely in the building. Now, I don't think it's John Mara. I don't think it's Chris Mara. And I don't think it's any of the Mara family. But I think it's somebody in the building that told Rich this, because he wouldn't let this out because he's trying to get clicks. That's not his business. So this has a lot of validity to me, to the story, not because I agree with it, but because of when you go through the process of how he collected the story and who he is, Rich, you understand that he's not going to take a risk on being wrong on something that he didn't get reliably reported. Now, there's always a margin for error, but I think to me, I think it's true. It has to be true. If you're watching tape, it has to be true. Like, it should have been true last year at this time.
Yeah, I mean, they were still riding the high of making the playoffs and getting the playoff victory over the Minnesota Vikings. But now you have a Daniel Jones who has a cap hit of $47.1 million for this 2024 season there. Base salary of $35.5 million. you're on the hook for it right now if you're the New York Giants. Maybe they can do some cap maneuvering and all that stuff, but Jones coming off of the torn ACL. Not sure. I haven't heard anything where he's at in his rehab, but I'm sure he's going to come back fine since the guys come back from ACLs all the time. But, man, that is a tough pill to swallow there. If it's just after not even a full season of Daniel Jones or to get in the buyer's remorse, and now you're letting Saquon Barkley, he's going to go out the door there. The running back market's going to be robust. The summit has now become the open forum is what we're doing for the running backs since they're all now unrestricted free agents.
Don't you think it's going to be interesting with all these running backs where this market's going to come into?
They're going to get their answer.
Fascinating, right?
They're going to get their answer of what the value is, because they're all like, there's no restrictions, there's no tag, none of that. You're on the open market now. You're obviously a year older, which is unfortunate for them, but now you're going to see what the answer is to that. Like, the running back market's robust. The safety market, we discussed that with Poyer and Justin Simmons. That's another robust market as well with free agency coming up here. And I'm just so fascinated, and we'll kind of say this to sort of set the table for Tuesday. This Christian Wilkins thing, the Dolphins had to do it since where their salary cap is, but 28 years old, that's a really good player to be on the open market at a really important position. That's the first guy I'm calling if I have cap space and free agency.
I mean, I think he's going to, you know, he'll be done Monday. What time is free agency start or tampering start?
I think it's noon Eastern, 9 Pacific.
I think Bryce Huff will be done at, if it's 12, Bryce Huff will be done at 12:05. And maybe Wilkins will be done at 12:06.
Any team on Wilkins that
you're
hearing?
Those are my two predictions. And maybe Cousins will be done at 12:07.
Yep, that fast for Cousins. Wow.
I mean, look, it's either, to me, he's going to know he gets 3 years guaranteed, or Minnesota's going to say no.
That's true. Any team that you're hearing on Christian Wilkins? Because you alluded to a little bit of Bryce Huff, Philadelphia. We're obviously not reporting this right now, but maybe that's a match that could happen there. But what about Christian Wilkins?
No, I think the Bryce Huff to Philly is legitimate. Whether they get it done or not, I don't know. I threw out there that Christian Wilkins could be a player in Jacksonville because I think Jacksonville needs it, and they'll spend money. They don't have a ton of cap room, but he's the kind of player that I would see Balke spending a lot of money for. Look, who doesn't want him? I mean, if I were the 49ers, you know, and I would be sitting there saying, okay, can I sign Wilkins? Do I get rid of Armstead? Maybe I just add Wilkins to this three-man rotation and make my team better? You know, can I do it now? Can I fit him in the cap? I think it's a little bit hard to do once they signed Hargrave, but look, I would put it past any team that has a legitimate great deep, needs a great. How many times are three techniques ever to the market?
Especially at his age, 28 years old, like in the prime of his career, like that's a guy that never gets to the open market, which kind of gives you a glimpse into how bad the salary cap situation is for the Miami Dolphins. They also cut Jerome Baker as well. I'm sure they're going to have to still do some maneuvering to get under the cap by the start of the new league year. But we talked about Bryce Huff. Chris Jones, we think he's going back to Kansas City, correct? Unless somebody comes up with like a Godfather offer. He's an unrestricted free agent, so they're still at risk of losing Chris Jones. He'll be in the open market. Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, Derrick Henry, Baker Mayfield, who we presume will go to Tampa, but a team could come in.
Somebody reported this morning it's not close. Could be Lions season. I love this one. Did you see Derrick Henry's? His workout got posted online.
I did see that.
Now we're in the delete your social media account phase and post your workouts online. Henry, I mean, look, he looked good in the workout. I'm not going to lie.
He did, and he looked really good. Maybe I'll post my workout later this afternoon and see if anybody wants to give me some money on the open market. We'll go ahead and do that, but that does it for this edition of the GM Shuffle podcast. Once again, we said in the last segment, we'll repeat it here in case you missed it. Podcast not coming up on Monday. It'll be coming on Tuesday with the new league year. The tampering period starts on Monday. We want to get some of that news in for a Tuesday podcast. We think that makes a little bit more sense. So Tuesday morning, podcast will be in the feed, and then of course we'll be back next Thursday as well to recap everything from the start of the new league year. But for our producer Elliot Bowman, for Michael Lombardi, that does it for this edition of the GM Shuffle. Subscribe, rate, and review as always, and we'll talk to you guys on Tuesday. See you then, Michael.
Thanks, Femi.